Good morning again. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. If you're able to stand with me this morning for the reading of the Word of God, we'll be looking at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another Lord's Day, another opportunity to be in your house and come together, and we thank you for this opportunity where we do celebrate the birth of our Savior, and we thank you that Jesus left heaven's glory, that he left all that there was there and came here to this earth so that he could be born, that he could die, that he could conquer death, that we could have eternal life. And I thank you for all that you're doing in each of our lives. We pray, Father, through this, we will be drawn closer to you. And I pray, Father, that we draw closer to one another through this. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish today, and will not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't know about you folks, but we've all, I believe, I know I have, heard many, many sermons on the Virgin, the angels, the shepherds, the innkeepers, and the wise men. But today I want to look at the forgotten hero of Jesus' life, Joseph. Joseph. This individual, Joseph, has been overlooked many times, right? He's kind of a passing name as we go through this account. Yeah, there's Joseph. Big deal. Who was Joseph? Didn't really matter, right? It's all about Mary. It's all about Jesus. And no, Joseph had a part in all this. Joseph was the earthly father of Jesus Christ. Joseph was chosen by God to be the earthly father of Jesus Christ. People say, well, Joseph was chosen just as much as Mary was. It was a special honor for Mary, for all the women who lived on the earth, for Mary to be the chosen one that God had chosen to give birth to his only begotten son. It was amazing, wasn't it? But it was also a special honor for Joseph, because Joseph was going to be the earthly father of God's only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say these two must have been like the most privileged people on the face of the planet at that time, right? I mean, out of everybody, you got to think, all the people that lived during that time, and God chose these two. Pretty miraculous. Pretty miraculous. They have to go down in history as two of the most fortunate people who've ever lived on this earth. And as we recognize Mary for this honor, we usually overlook Joseph at this time. They were chosen for this special honor because of the wonderful qualities that God saw in them. God saw some special qualities in these two, and I want us today to focus on Joseph. Now, we're not going to leave Mary out of the picture, but we are going to focus on Joseph here, the earthly father of Jesus Christ, and some of the qualities that God saw in him I want to look at today. He was a spiritual man. Look at verse 19 of Matthew 1. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." The Bible says that Joseph was a just man. A just man. When God's word says that he's a just man, You can mark it down. Joseph was a just man. We don't have to question. Joseph was a just man. Now, I know I have been to many funerals and I thought, boy, this person is just going on and on and on and giving such a glowing review of this person, you'd think they were the Lord Jesus Christ themselves, the way they were talking about how wonderful they are. And I was at one time where the guy went on and on and on and on and on, and then he said he had never met the man. I said, how do you know he was such a good person? How do you know he did such great things? How do you know so much about him if you've never met the man? I myself had. Said, that doesn't sound like the person I know. We often wonder, right? Because what's being said about the person doesn't match up a lot of times. But I can tell you, when God says that Joseph was a just man, Joseph was a just man. It did line up, because God meant exactly what he said. Now, the word just in the Greek is dikaios, and it means equitable in character or act, innocent, holy, righteous. In other words, the earthly father of Jesus, who God himself had selected to raise his only begotten son, went about doing good. He went about doing good. Look over in Acts chapter 10, please, and verse 38. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That means that his entire life he never did any evil to anyone, never told a lie about anyone, never ever tried to hurt anyone, never thought evil of anyone, never ever cheated anyone, never lusted after the opposite sex. His entire life he went about doing good. The reason he was this way was because he is the Holy Son of God. He's intrinsically God. He didn't have to work at being good. He is good. He did not have to become holy. He is holy. He was not 95% good and 5% bad. He's 100% good. And let me just add, all the time. All the time. Could have had an earthly father that lived an unjust life, and still he would have lived his life the way he did, because he is God. He is, in fact, the Bible tells us that because in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the Lamb of God without blemish. But how wonderful it was that he was, when he was growing up, he had an earthly father that God himself said was a just man. And then he was a sensitive man. When we say he was sensitive, we're saying that he thought of others before he thought of himself. In the life of Joseph, we see he is sensitive in two ways. First, he's sensitive to the needs of others. We can see that he was sensitive to the needs of others when he was sensitive to the needs of Mary. His heart was crushed. Can you imagine? They're engaged, right? And all of a sudden she comes and she says, I got some good news and I got some not so good news, right? Well, that's not so good, right? He knew that when Mary told him she was pregnant, it wasn't his. Let me just say, he also knew it wasn't from drinking the water. He knew there was an issue. He thought Mary had been unfaithful. And let's face it, wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all, not knowing what we know now, right? At the time we'd say, well, this is not good. So he had to conclude that she had been unfaithful to him. He knew he hadn't had any relationship with her. But regardless of how crushed he was, he didn't want to make Mary a target of disgrace. This sensitive man was mindful of her feelings. Of her feelings. He was a sensitive man, and he was trying to work out a difficult situation as sensitively as he could. Verse 19 that we read said he was minded to put her away privily, so privately, so that people wouldn't know. It wouldn't be some big, extravagant thing where people would all know, right? At this point, he thinks she's been unfaithful. He didn't want to marry her, thinking that she had been unfaithful, but he also didn't want to be vindictive. He was sensitive to the needs of Mary, but he was also sensitive to the needs of baby Jesus. Once God revealed to him Mary was a virgin, as she had claimed, and he saw the danger she and the Christ child faced, he laid aside all of his plans to take his family to a place of safety. The world in which we live needs some dads that are sensitive to their needs of their family. That is, they are willing to sacrifice some things in this life for their family. Now, I know I've mentioned several times, my wife and I like to watch House Hunters every once in a while. I like to see the fact that they show three houses and they buy one. I kind of wonder how that works. But I like to watch that show, but every time I do, it seems like they have some buffoon on there that says, I have to have my own private space. I have to have my own man cave where no one else can be in that room. It's all mine. Are they being sensitive to anybody else's needs? Of course not. They're being selfish. They're being selfish. I like the one when the wife said, well, where's my room? I thought, okay, now we're going to have the wife's room, the husband's room, the kids' room. If you have a large family, can you imagine how big a house you have to have when everybody has their own private room? And then, of course, you have to have the shared bathrooms and the shared kitchen and the shared living room. And, I mean, pretty soon you have to have a 97,000 square foot house because everybody has to have their own private space. What family is that? When you have a bunch of people living together that don't want to spend time together, makes no sense. Joseph understood that he had to put the needs of others before his own. We need more men that are willing to do that today. We need dads to step up to the plate and do what needs to be done. We cannot build a life of happiness on the misery of others. How would you like somebody to mistreat you because of the color of your skin? How would you like somebody to mistreat you because of what you believe? It's not very nice, is it? So we need more dads like Joseph, who was sensitive to the needs of others. He was also sensitive to the needs of God. Three times we were told that God spoke to Joseph in a dream. Three times. Matthew chapter 1, look at 20 through 23. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Look at verse 13 of Matthew chapter 2. It says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And then verse 19 of that same chapter says, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. God spoke to Joseph. And look how sensitive here Joseph is to the Word of God. He listened to the Word of God. He obeyed the Word of God. Once God revealed to him in a dream that Mary truly was a virgin and told him to take Mary as his wife, he responded. Look at verse 21. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Thank God for men like Joseph who are sensitive to the Word of God. God still speaks to dads through His Word. God's still speaking. He's speaking to dads through His Word to protect their families from evil and bring them to the house of God where they can be exposed to God's people. They can be exposed to the Word of God and they can rise them up and take them. Dads, instead of sending your children to church, you need to go with your children to church. Unfortunately, over the years, I've seen many that send their children to church. Then we have to pray for them that the dads will finally show up. I remember years ago being in a church and some of the kids were coming from the neighborhood and all, and one family in particular, the brother and sister came to the church, and the parents were not very financially off and all, and I wanted to do something special for the kids. God laid on my heart to do this, and so I did, not thinking that I should probably clear it with the parents first, and the father showed up. He was not happy, did not want any handouts. Said, I didn't mean any harm by it. I just wanted to do something special for the kids. They've been coming and they're excited about learning about the Word of God and all. And through that conversation, the mom and dad started coming to church. They got saved. They got involved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But see, it's better to take your kids to church than to send them to church. These dads are sensitive to the leading of God's Word, and they, like Joseph, obey God. Joseph could have said, I know what God's plan is for my life. I know what God wants me to do. I have a different plan. It's not quite the same as God's, and I think my plan's better, so I'm going to try my own. Joseph could have done that. Many dads today are doing that. The problem is that's not going to work out well for them. But Joseph said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. I'm going to follow. Because being a spiritual man is being a sensitive man. He recognized there are some things in his life that are more important than his selfish desires. Folks, we're all born with this selfishness. It's pretty easy, right? We don't have to be taught to be selfish. We just are. And a lot of times we have this society telling us, it's all about me. When we should be telling one another, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about us. He recognized that God placed him on our earth and God had every right to tell him how he was to live his life. If you are a child of God, you have no right to tell God how you're going to live your life. None. Now, we don't like that, right? We like to be in control. People say, well, how do you know that? Just be in a car and sit in the passenger side. And the whole time the person who's driving is driving, you're thinking, I need that steering wheel. I need those pedals, right? I need to be in control. Because we don't like to not be in control. That comes from our selfish desires. We want to be in control. Plus, sometimes it's for our own safety. Sorry, I just had to throw that out. But we like to be in control. We like to control our lives. But Joseph understood that there's going to be judgment. And he's going to have to stand before Almighty God one day, and he's going to have to account for his life. He understood that. It'd be nice if more men understood that. That one day we are going to stand before Almighty God and we're going to give an account. It'd be nice if we could give a good account of our life, how we followed God. So he's sensitive to the needs of God and others. God spoke, Joseph obeyed. Then he's also a strong man. Strong man. The Bible makes it amply clear that he was a strong man spiritually. Now, it doesn't really tell us about his size or anything, but it doesn't really matter. If he was a runt and didn't weigh very much physically, it doesn't matter because he was a strong man spiritually. See, some people look at the size of a man and they think, well, they're not very strong. But they don't look at, are they strong spiritually? What's their spiritual life like? Go back to Matthew chapter 1 and look at verses 24 and 25. It says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to tell you, the Catholic Church out there has always tried to make Mary into something that God never intended her to be. She is not the Queen of Heaven. I know that might step on some toes, but she is not the Queen of Heaven. It's interesting to note that the Queen of Heaven is mentioned in Scripture, though. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 18. Jeremiah 7, verse 18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. She's a pagan goddess. A pagan goddess. And the worship of this goddess provoked God to anger. Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. She's a woman chosen by God to bring forth His only begotten Son. It was a special assignment. That's who Mary is. Mary was there at the death of Jesus. Joseph is believed to have died before that. Otherwise, I believe wholeheartedly he would have been right there with her. But the Catholics have always tried to make Mary to be more than what the Bible teaches she is. She came to Jesus one day, and some came to Jesus one day and said that his mother and family would like to see him. But notice how he responds to them. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 50. Matthew chapter 12, verse 48 says, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. A woman doing the will of God today is just as important to God as Mary was. Just as important, she had no special favors with him. The Lord made it clear before he died that he cut all human ties with Mary. Look at John chapter 19. Verses 25 through 27. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Stay there, because we're going to look at some other verses in a minute. When he looked from the cross, he saw Mary, no doubt weeping, but he didn't address her as mother. He addressed her as woman. Woman. This was a respectful term, though, but he didn't address her as mother. Why would he address her this way? He was cutting all earthly ties as mother and son. She needed to look to him for salvation just like everyone else. Just like everyone else. Every other sinner, exactly, had to look at Jesus the same way. But notice, when he does use the term mother, and Mary had been a good mother to him, and he wanted to make provision for her, so he saw John standing by. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. This time he referred to her as mother. Because what he's doing is he's giving her to John for John to take care of her for the days to come. She was his earthly mother, chosen by God to give him birth. But that's all. Special privilege given to her. But this is where that special privilege ceased. Mary and Joseph, two human beings, chosen by God to become special parents. But we should never forget that they are just mortals. They are just like us. No different. Mary was just an ordinary woman. Joseph was just an ordinary man. And yet God chose them. Joseph was a strong spiritual man. When Joseph met Mary, the wedding bells started ringing. I'm telling you, he was excited that one day very soon he was going to marry this beautiful young woman. And that one day he would look forward to her being his wife. And they would have children. And they would follow God's plan. God had a purpose in making this plan happen. Women are stirred by touch. Men are stirred by sight. How this works. That's why God brought men and women together. That's why marriage is only one man and one woman. One day, when Mary came and said, I have some good news and some bad news, Joseph was on cloud nine. He's thinking, I'm looking forward to that day you will be my wife. It doesn't matter what you say. Right? Hey, if you've been there, they could say anything, right? Not going to change the feelings. Except, I'm with child. changes things dramatically, right? I can just see Joseph saying, tell me whatever you want to tell me, I can handle it. She told him, and he didn't handle it well. The Lord had to appear to him three times in a dream, saying, the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She was a virgin giving birth to the Son of God. This strong spiritual man, though, even though he looked forward to the time where he could have this relationship with Mary, he abstained. The Bible tells us until after Jesus was born. After. It says, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was able to control himself in the same way a strong spiritual man can control themselves today. As we look at this life of Joseph, we see why God selected him as the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a role model for dads today. A role model because he was a spiritual man, he was a sensitive man, and he was a strong man. And he understood that following the Word of God is the best way to go. So today, as we celebrate, actually tomorrow, I guess, we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, let's not forget Joseph and his role in this account. And ultimately, let's not overlook God's role in the whole thing as he put the whole thing together perfectly, as he always does. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Joseph's role in the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for his attitude once you sent the angels to speak to him in a dream. Once he realized that this child was conceived of the Holy Spirit, he understood his role, and he took it willingly. He took Mary to be his wife. He raised Jesus as his own son. What a blessing must have been as he saw the only begotten Son of God grow. Father, today we need more men to be like Joseph. And as always, Father, if there's someone in our midst this morning who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. I pray, Father, for those of us who have already, I pray that we are living our lives in such a way that we are obedient to your word, that we are willing to set aside our selfish desires and put others first. I pray, Father, the men here today would be willing to be the leaders in their families that you've called us to be. That we would set aside our desires and understand the desires of our spouse and our children. Put them first. Father, today I pray that we would all be drawn closer to you. That we'd all be obedient to your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with me this morning, if you're able to, as the piano plays, if you need to come, you come.